We continue our reading of the prophet Isaiah, coming today to chapter 45. We'll read verses 1 to 13. You'll find it in your bulletin and also printed on your screen, Isaiah 45, 1 to 13. Now, if you are familiar with much Old Testament biblical scholarship, you probably have run across the idea that there is not one book of Isaiah, but there's three books of Isaiah. In fact, some commentary sets will have it as Isaiah 1, Isaiah 2, Isaiah 3, and that roughly follows the main divisions, chapters 1 to 39, 40 to 55, 56 to 66. And the argument is made that Isaiah, there is no Isaiah. If there was, he didn't write the book. It's who knows when it was really written, probably after the Babylonian exile. And it was a group of people who went by, it was the Isaiah school. They called themselves Isaiah. Now you go, now where do you get that argument to make that claim? Well, there's two answers. One is because these books, these portions of the book are a bit different, and you have the novel idea that one person cannot write two different types of literature. I don't think that theory holds up. But the main problem is in our chapter today, and it's found in a simple word. It actually goes back one verse, chapter 44:28, and the name is Cyrus. You see, Isaiah is writing in the late 8th century, we'll say 700 B.C. roughly. And he's prophesying over 150 years later, after the Jews have been sent into exile in Babylon, Jerusalem's been destroyed, and they've been in captivity, that a king, by God's command, established by God, appointed by God, a Persian king it would actually give the order, to give the decree to restore the city of Jerusalem, to send back the people, actually to give the provision for them to rebuild the temple. You see it in the previous verse, verse 28, who says of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, he shall fulfill all my purpose, saying of Jerusalem, she shall be built. Now that would suggest, and since God not only says there's going to be a person, he actually names him. And go to your secular history books, or what I know you do, go to Wikipedia, and look up Cyrus, and you will find that this is the man. Now, here's the argument. Well, we know Isaiah couldn't have been written in 700 B.C. because this happened afterwards, and you can't predict the future. You see, that argument is based upon unbelief. What's interesting is the very point of the chapter is the sovereignty of God. How can God prophesy events, decades, generations in the future? Because he is sovereign. And he points out in this chapter, he's the one who created the earth. Everything that takes place is by his sovereign decree. The reason Cyrus would do it is because God decreed that he would do it. God therefore knew he would do it, and he foretells it. It's one of the great prophecies that reminds us of the veracity of Scripture. The fulfillment of prophecy. This is a great one. Decades, generations in advance, Cyrus is named by name. And he's someone whom God is going to appoint. Now, some would argue that Cyrus seems to be a saved man. He's called the servant of the Lord. He's called my anointed. God says he will raise him up in righteousness. Well, we are also told that Cyrus does not know God. As I read it, you'll hear that. He is a secular leader whom God appointed and equipped and imbued with virtue to accomplish a work appointed, prophesied by name for him by God in advance. What an encouragement this chapter is of the deity of the Word of God. There's not 1, 2, 3 Isaiah. There's the prophet Isaiah. And he wrote this around 700 B.C. and he prophesied it. He reminds us that it is God who speaks in his word. Moreover, isn't it encouraging that for a people in distress, God raises up even secular leaders? Dare I say, in these troubled times in our land, the one thing we hear little of is prayer. But it is God who can restore people. It is God who can give justice and peace. It is God who can raise up leaders who bring these things. He is sovereign, but it must be to his glory. And unless we are seeking these things to his glory, we will not likely be heard. Well, let me read Isaiah chapter 45, verses 1 to 13. This is God's holy, inerrant, and life-giving word. Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have grasped, to subdue nations before him and to loose the belts of kings, to open doors before him that gates may not be closed. I will go before you and level the exalted places. I will break in pieces the doors of bronze and cut through the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and the hoards in secret places that you may know that it is I, the Lord, the God of Israel, who call you by name. For the sake of my servant Jacob and Israel my chosen, I call you by name. I name you, though you do not know me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Beside me there is no God. I equip you, though you do not know me, that people may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form light and create darkness. I make well-being and create calamity. I am the Lord who does all these things. Shower, O heavens, from above, and let the clouds rain down righteousness. Let the earth open, that salvation and righteousness may bear fruit. Let the earth cause them both to sprout. I, the Lord, have created it. Woe to him who strives with him who formed him, a pot among earthen pots. Does the clay say to him who forms it, what are you making, or your work has no handles? Woe to him who says to a father, what are you begetting? Or to a woman, with what are you in labor? Thus says the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and the one who formed him, ask me of things to come. Will you command me concerning my children and the work of my hands? I made the earth and created man on it. It was my hands that stretched out the heavens, and I commanded all their host. I have stirred him up in righteousness, and I will make all his ways level. He shall build my city and set my exiles free, not for price or reward, says the Lord of hosts. The grass withers, the flowers fall, and the word of our God abides forever and ever. Amen.